The snow in many parts of high altitude alpine habitats is turning various shades of reddish pink and is being called watermelon snow or the more macabre glacier blood. It's happening in the French Alps currently, but more concerningly, these hues on high altitude snows are turning up in many places globally. In this video, let's take a look at what these patches of color are on the snow, sometimes yellow, sometimes green, sometimes orange, sometimes pink, and why scientists are calling its increasing frequency a marker of climate change. I'm Sandhya Ramesh and this is Pure Science. Blood snow or watermelon snow has been occurring for hundreds of years. It is in fact documented as far back as Aristotle. In his book 5 of History of Animals, which will be linked below, he describes some animals and how they are formed or created. It's almost like a more mature, inquisitive version of Kipling's Just So stories. And in that book, he says that some substances can prevent putrefaction, such as snow, and those substances can actually give rise to creatures like hairy worms, typically engendered or created in long-lying reddish snow. This is the popular 1818 story about how four ships sailed from England searching for the Northwest Passage, which is the sea route between the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans via the Arctic. When they neared the northwestern part of Greenland, the weather got really bad and they had to turn their ships back. But their visual accounts say that they saw reddish snow on the slopes of Greenland. In fact, there was actually a team that went down to Baffin Bay to collect some snow samples, a landing party which brought these samples back to England at the time. And these samples were described as crimson when they were picked up. The snow on land had varying tinges of red shades, and streams around this region flowed like red port wine. They deduced that since they didn't actually see red colored snow falling, the color was likely from something in the soil. The most common explanation then was that of minerals or maybe even iron from meteorites, although Robert Brown, the famous botanist who discovered Brownian motion when studying pollen, he did tentatively attribute the cause of this reddish color on the snow to algae or algae. The phenomenon has been reported multiple times through documented history, especially in polar and alpine regions. So the cause behind these blotches of color on the snow is in fact blooms of algae which burst in population and tint the white snow. The species of the algae that causes this coloring was first thought to be Chlamydomonas nivalis, but now the algae has been placed in a new genus, not Chlamydomonas, but Sanguina, as the name suggests. The genus consists of two species, one produces red snow and one produces orange snow. The algae themselves aren't red or orange in color. They are just plain green algae, but they can produce carotenoids or pigments that give the red, yellow, and orange family of colors to fruits and vegetables like carrots and pumpkins, corn, tomatoes, and even animals like flamingos and salmon, and also flowers like daffodils and sunflowers. The colors in these wavelengths are produced to protect the microalgae and their chloroplasts, which help in photosynthesis, from intense visible light and UV light as well as heat. We don't know much about these algae living in these high altitude habitats, just like we don't know a lot about many other things that live in difficult to navigate high altitude terrain. But we do know how algae in general work. They are the ones that cause water bodies to start looking green because they bloom on the surface of water. These blooms on the surface of water could be dangerous because they tend to block out sunlight and oxygen, so they end up killing all the fish that live underneath in the water. So extreme algal blooms are a cause for concern, and now they're showing up more frequently in high altitude mountaintop snow. So now while we know what produces these colors on the snow, we don't fully understand why there are so many variations and what the ecosystem is like in high altitude for these algae. So the researchers set out to characterize that. To do this, they first collected 158 samples of soil from holes that were dug between 4,100 feet and 9,646 feet above sea level. They collected these samples from five different peaks in the French Alps. After the snow melted, they analyzed what was left, which was DNA of algae in the soil. They found 50 species of microalgae and were able to deduce a pattern for their habitat distribution in relation to altitude from the soil samples. The team discovered that the sanguina algae, which causes watermelon snow, were found only above 6,560 feet. But all other species of algae are actually limited to much lower elevations. There's something else we know about algae and phytoplankton. Phytoplankton are the largest oxygen producers on Earth, and algae in general produce oxygen by taking in carbon dioxide in large quantities. When there is high amounts of carbon dioxide, these algae thrive and bloom. So green algae are actually thought to be markers of climate change. Scientists are now concerned that red snow is cropping up everywhere, and the algae here, the green algae here in high altitude, are also climbing here because of the rise in carbon dioxide. Anything that causes a tangible effect because of climate change tends to have a feedback loop as well. Snow is white. The color white reflects light and heat. This is called the albedo effect, or the ability of a body or a material to reflect heat because of its color. Snow and snow caps have high albedo, as do clouds. These act like a white blanket over Earth and keep away excess heat by reflecting sunlight. But when snow melts, it exposes what is underneath, and that typically tends to be darker than the white colored snow. This is one of the bigger reasons why we're concerned about glaciers melting, for example. Not just that the act of melting would cause the sea levels to rise and ocean currents to go awry, but also that the melting itself accelerates further melting because newer parts that are exposed to sunlight, darker and warmer, like land or rocks or even the water in the ocean. Similarly, the incidence of red snow or watermelon snow tints the snow with a color. This color is always able to absorb more incident radiation than the white snow can. So these blotches of color actually accelerate melting. In fact, we can often see pinkish or reddish sun cups, which are depressions in the snow that are created where these algae accumulate. Since their pigment accelerates melting, they melt more and they form cups within the snow. So green algae are actually actors of environmental changes as well. These findings are not without limitations. DNA sampling already comes with the inherent limitation of being able to provide only incomplete details. However, it has become amply evident that it's important to study these species of algae because they accelerate melting, and we need to understand how climate change is reflected at high altitude. There is now increasing research into algal blooms and high altitude ecosystems as well, and citizens can help collect data about red snow specifically with a public citizen science project that is called the Living Snow Project.